You and I back together again Tuesday, February 21st, 2023 on Connecticut Today. We looked at a couple of new bills under consideration at the state capitol that could enforce statewide rent control. University of New Haven professor Dr. Howard Stouffer returned to the program to offer his thoughts on President Biden's weekend trip to Ukraine. Hey, if you are a landlord, listen up. Listen up if you maybe rent out just one room in your little abode. Maybe you, rent out, maybe you own a two or three floor home, maybe a nice older home, a Victorian or something that's got, you know, a lot of room there, and you rent out the basement and you live on the first floor, and maybe you live on the second floor or third floor, you know, whatever. Maybe you're fortunate and you own a couple of investment properties. Maybe you own a small apartment building. You know, there's some small apartment buildings with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 units in there. Well, as was mentioned last legislative term, but never went anywhere, there is a push again for at least some type of rent control here in the state. Now, so far, there are only two other states in the nation that have some manner of rent control statewide bestowed by a state government. Connecticut is looking to, I guess, become state number three here. So heads up now. Let me give you the details here. Let me know what you think about this. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. If you are a landlord, yes, if you rent to those college kids, if you rent to maybe your son or your daughter, or you have other folks that you rent to, lawmakers now in Hartford, courtesy of the Connecticut News Junkie here, considering new limits and laws on landlords in Connecticut intended to provide what they call stability to tenants. One thing one of these bills would do, it would cap the annual increases in the cost of rent. And also, if you are a landlord, now get this, if you are a landlord, you would require giving 3 months' notice before a rent increase. Now, that one, okay, I don't think it's, I don't think it's nice to spring it on someone, you know, maybe a month out or a few weeks out. Hey, I know it's only a month away, but I'm increasing your rent by XXX. You know, that one I could kind of live with. But again, let's go over this. And by the way, I know I've talked to you folks on this before, so if you want to chime in here, let me know what you think. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. These all being considered by the Housing Committee in the General Assembly. Doesn't mean they're going to become law. Yeah, but again, I just, you know what I try to do on this show? I try to warn you. I try to give you a little bit of a heads up here because, frankly, a lot of you folks actually have lives. You have busy jobs during the day, unlike me that can wallow away in this stuff because it's what they pay me to do here. I just want to keep you up to date on this. Two rent-related bills being floated up in Hartford. One bill would limit landlords from raising rent during a tenant's first year of occupancy. Okay, so one bill would prevent a landlord, you or you out there who rent whatever property, from raising the rent during a tenant's first year of occupancy and during public health emergencies. So again, they're saying, well, you basically have to lock in that rent for 1 year, which I thought when you signed a lease for a year, maybe I'm wrong here, but is it common practice of a rent to increase during a year or a first year? Maybe I just didn't know this. I thought rents could only increase on the anniversary of a lease. Maybe I didn't know that. So one bill would limit landlords from raising the rent during a tenant's first year of occupancy. All right, that kind of makes sense. and during public health emergencies, which of which we just went through one for, you know, 2.5-3 years here with COVID. Now, here's the one, here's the thing where I get a little greasy here about government kind of, sort of, interfering in the private market here. And I'm not saying we should go one way or the other continually, but this is the one that kind of makes me twitch a little bit. Let me know what you think on this. One bill would also hold rent increases to an annual cap, calculated by the state housing department, and require landlords to provide 90 days notice before implementing any increase. Now, okay, the 90-day thing, whatever, you can fudge that, you can probably massage that, all right, but it would hold rent increases to an annual cap. I have a problem with that. Now, look, if I ever owned property, which I don't, which maybe I should have and charged rent years ago, I was thinking about it at one time, but I'm just lazy. I generally don't like interacting with people face to face. On the radio is fine. But I know a lot of you folks out there are property renters, owners and renters. You've told me about this before. And yeah, there can be a nice steady flow of income there. And then again, I've been told it can be a pain in the arse. I just have a big problem. Maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe you think I'm right or wrong. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I have a big problem with when a government comes in, and as long as you're doing things legally, as long as you're a good landlord, you fix stuff, the physical upkeep of whatever you're renting is good. I just have a little bit of a problem with the feds telling you how much you can raise your rent. You agree with that or not? Now, we don't want to gouge people. I get that. You don't want to toss people out into the street. I get that. But this bothers me. One bill being considered in Hartford would limit landlords from raising rent during the first year of an occupancy. Okay. It would hold rent increases to an annual cap calculated by the state housing department. Now, here's my answer to that. Or here's my question with that. Here's my little question. Does the property owner, does the apartment owner, does the house owner, do they get to then have a cap on what their costs might raise? In other words, if they see their electricity go up from Eversource or from UI or their water bill from Aquarian Water or their tax bill from, say, the city or town they're in or their insurance coverage from their insurance policy carrier, do they get to claim a cap on that, too? Now, again, I know people say, well, you know, people who are landlords are in it for the money. Yeah, but they have expenses, too. You know, they do have expenses here. There is also a second bill that would cap annual rent increases at mobile home parks to 4% plus the rate of inflation. The mobile home rent limits would apply during a public health emergency and the year immediately afterward. Now, let me know what you think about this. Sam, we'll get to you momentarily. Open lines here. If you are a renter, if you are a tenant, or if you are a property owner, what do you think of this stuff? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. One bill would limit landlords from being able to raise the rent of a tenant during the first year of occupancy. I think that's fair. First year, listen, you sign the lease, and frankly, I've never heard, maybe you have, I've never heard of a rent going up in the first year unless you get to that 1 year anniversary. Maybe I'm just naive here. The part that makes me kind of wonder is an annual cap on rent increases. Well, let me just throw this out there. Who is the state to tell you what you can charge and can't charge for rent? I think we can ask ourselves that without immediately saying, you want to gouge people and throw them out in the street. No, there's a bigger issue here. Where does the state get off telling you how to conduct business or raise rents or how and when to do that when you're the property owner? See, this is what I don't understand here. Maybe I'm the Neanderthal. Maybe I need to get with it. I figured this would be a good day to welcome back one of our go-to folks about all things concerning the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine, Dr. Howard Stouffer, professor of national security, University of New Haven, 25-year veteran of the U.S. State Department. He has lived in Moscow, Tel Aviv, Beijing, Oslo, and Geneva for nuclear talks. And he know from whence he speaks. Dr. Stouffer, hi, it's Paul here at WICC. Good afternoon, good to hear you again. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Well, Dr. Stouffer, we saw the trip this past weekend by President Biden to Ukraine, spent quite a few hours there, and I was interested to see, Dr. Stouffer, the opinion of this. It seems to come down on two sides. Good for the president. This is what leaders do. You have to confront evil. And then you have some on both sides saying, hey, this was not needed. This was a provocation. It now has Putin talking about nuclear weapons. Where do you come down on this?
I think this was a stunning victory for the United States. It was amazing to have the president of the United States enter a war zone where there are no U.S. military engaged in a war, like Obama went to Iraq and Afghanistan, and George W. Bush went to the same two places. But we had our military there to protect the president. This is a president who went into a war zone. We're supporting Ukraine and showing that the leading democracy in the world is willing to help a country struggling to remain democratic and fight against the dictatorship of Putin in Russia right now. I think it was a stunning victory.
I can imagine, Dr. Stouffer, the logistical planning here. I mean, you're right, the U.S. military, although I'm sure some high-level people were talking with, the Ukrainian generals and their top military brass, but boy, to sit there and basically be crossing your fingers, as you say, because there's no contingent of U.S. troops and security levels there, that must have been quite a tense situation.
Well, I think Biden looked like he was pretty comfortable with the arrangements. They've been planning this for apparently months. And the way they carried it out, using a secure train to go from the Polish border into Kyiv and then step out at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was a beautiful day. He did all of the things he was going to do, be seen in front of, the domes of the church, the Orthodox Church in Kyiv, and walking with Zelensky through the streets of Kyiv. I think it really just showed, on the other hand, to the Russians that their leader can't even make it to Donbass. Their leader doesn't even go to Crimea. So here the president of the United States is basically showing all the NATO countries and all of the others that are supporting Ukraine that finally he made his trip there and he gave his support to, the Ukrainian people. I think it gave them a tremendous moral support and boost. And that was important. And it basically sent a very strong message to the Russians. This president, at least, and the United States are not going to be given up on this country. So don't think that you're going to just roll them over and take over.
Yeah. What do you make, Dr. Stouffer, of the reaction from Vladimir Putin? I mean, this just must have angered him to no end, his inner circle. And now, of course, he waves the usual nuclear weapons thing. And I guess what? He has pulled out of nuclear talks with the U.S. What's going on there?
Yeah, let me clarify. He did say at the very end of his speech, and he said that we are suspending its participation, Russia's participation in the new Strategic Arms Reduction Talk treaty, the new START treaty. He did not say we're ending participation. Okay. He didn't say we're canceling or walking out. So suspending means that they may keep the levels of nuclear weapons at the same, 1,500 approximately for each country, but he's not walking away from the treaty. But it is a reaction to everything that's been going on. Why bother with having on-site inspections, as he said in his speech, so you can look at our bases and then bomb them? The man is gone completely off the road. He has said things in this speech that were absolutely astonishing.
And obviously other nations hear that, Dr. Stouffer. We hear that. The Russians hear that. But yet, he's still in control, is he not? Do you think he's in control to the extent that he's always been? And I guess we saw, what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, another one of his top military folks, I guess is a woman strategist, who I guess shockingly fell off another building a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember you've mentioned that numerous times, all these people, bank presidents and others who have opposed Putin suddenly losing their balance and falling out a window. You know, which was very similar to what happened during Stalin's time and other dark periods in Soviet history. And then this is what's happening now. It's amazing that that goes on. But more importantly, he said the same lies he said right before the invasion on the 24th of February last year. He was saying basically it's the Ukrainians that started it. They're responsible for inviting in the Western nations and to fight our country. I'm going to help the Donbas region, you know, fight this undisguised hatred of us. I'm going to be reviving jobs in these regions. I'm going to give jobs to Ukrainians in the Donbas region and in Crimea. He even went on to say that the West is so deranged that, you know, our churches and religious leaders support the pedophilia and the child abuse. And I mean, you know, what can you say if you're, you know, a rational person, a rational leader in Russia, and you're listening to this stuff? You have to begin to ask yourself, what is he talking about? It's just beyond comment. And, you know, the head of the European Commission just said everything Putin said is false. And what is true is false, and what is false is true. True that the Russia is waging this unprovoked war. And of course, James Cleverly from the British Foreign Secretary even said that, you know, aggressors cannot be allowed to attack other countries with impunity. And we have to oppose this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the whole Hitler thing and Neville Chamberlain and all that. Yeah, you cannot, what was that line that that Churchill used? You can't put your head in the mouth of a lion or something like that and expect not to get killed. Now, you mentioned, Dr. Stouffer, the next thing to watch for is the change of the season, the warm-up of the area when the weather changes here, and this will likely lead to a major Soviet push here.
Well, I think there are plenty of signs and plenty of discussions already that both sides are gearing up for a major push. Ukrainians want to take more territory back, and the Russians are trying to bring in all kinds of conscripts, these kids, these youngsters who, you know, are just going to be a wall of destruction. They're just all going to get killed, don't have enough ammunition, don't have enough training. They don't know what they're doing, and they're just being put out there so that they can, you know, just take a few more inches of land and make claims that they're making progress in doing that. I mean, you know, this is it's murderous what's happening to, you know, these poor Russian soldiers who are, you know, don't want to be in this army. They don't want to be a part of it. He even said in his speech, I understand that it's very tough out there to all the mothers and wives and daughters and sisters. We'll let them have a 14-day break every 6 months in order to be able to renew their, you know, strength. I mean, this is a man that doesn't have any idea what's going on over there.
Finally, and, Dr. Stouffer, what is Xi Jinping and the Chinese government thinking about all this?
That's the key question. I think if China starts providing lethal aid to the Russians, the war will become much, much more dangerous, much, much harder to win, much, much harder to stop the two giant autocratic states in the world now that are trying to put their will onto democratic states. It would be a very worrisome development. I hope the Chinese don't do that. The Chinese don't like the situation they're in right now. And I hope that they restrain themselves enough to not provide lethal equipment, but instead maybe come up with some kind of peace plan. We'll see what that plan is. There's no peace plan that can allow the Ukrainians to give up territory and expect them to accept that. So we have to watch that very carefully. That's the most dangerous part.
As always, we thank the ideas and opinions of Dr. Howard Stouffer, University of New Haven. Dr. Stouffer, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll talk down the road, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, there you go. Gentleman with a good two decades plus of experience in the State Department. He has told me in the past he has negotiated directly with the Russians on arms treaties, so he knows how they think.